Boeing secures jet order from China that Beijing refuses to acknowledge. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde and number 9,650, President Trump announced a Boeing jet order from China on May 15, 2026, but Beijing refused to publicly confirm the deal, leaving deal terms, aircraft quantities, and delivery schedules undisclosed. Boeing and hashtag X27's commercial backlog, recovery from production and regulatory issues, and valuation are contingent on whether this order converts from a presidential announcement into a binding contract. China and hashtag X27's silence on the order represents a material risk factor for institutional investors pricing American industrial assets, as the deal remains unconfirmed despite the U.S. announcement. President Donald Trump announced a Boeing jet order from China on May 15, 2026, a deal Beijing declined to publicly confirm, placing the United States' most consequential aerospace exporter at the center of a geopolitical standoff that has direct consequences for how institutional capital prices American industrial assets. The announcement, reported by the New York Times, arrived without a confirmed purchase agreement from the Chinese side, leaving deal terms, aircraft quantities, and delivery schedules undisclosed. That silence from Beijing is not a diplomatic footnote. It is a material risk factor. Boeing's commercial backlog, its recovery from years of production and regulatory turbulence, and its valuation hinge on whether this order converts from a presidential announcement into a binding contract. Until China confirms, institutional investors should treat this as a conditional trade, not a closed deal. No Boeing executive statement or Chinese government official confirmation appeared in available source reporting. Details of the order, including aircraft type, total aircraft count, and aggregate contract value, were not public as of publication. The Plaquemium view, this announcement tells the market more about the structural fragility of U.S. aerospace supply chains than it does about Boeing's near-term revenue outlook. Read alongside the Pentagon's simultaneous push to diversify its munitions industrial base far beyond traditional prime contractors, a clear pattern emerges. Washington is re-engineering who builds what, and how fast, across both commercial and defense aerospace. Beijing's silence is a negotiating position, not a protocol. Trump's announcement of a Chinese Boeing order without a corresponding Chinese confirmation follows a playbook that global markets have seen before. In 2017, Boeing and the U.S. government trumpeted a $37 billion framework agreement with Chinese carriers during a Trump state visit to Beijing. Many of those orders were later absorbed into existing backlog or restructured, rather than representing net new business. The 2026 announcement fits the same architecture, a presidential trade visit announcement, designed for domestic consumption, with the commercial reality to be negotiated afterward. The asymmetry matters. Trump controls the headline. China controls the delivery schedule, the regulatory approval for Boeing aircraft operating in Chinese airspace, and ultimately the cash. Boeing's commercial recovery from the 737 MAX crises and the 787 production slowdowns has been hard won. Any order from Chinese carriers would represent a meaningful re-entry into a market where Airbus has steadily taken share since 2018. But the conversion risk on unconfirmed orders is real, and institutional portfolios should not mark Boeing exposure higher on the basis of an unconfirmed announcement. The deal terms, aircraft count, and aggregate contract value for the reported China Boeing order were not publicly disclosed as of May 15, 2026. Plaquemium is treating this as a conditional pipeline item until Beijing issues a confirming statement. The Pentagon's LCCM program signals a structural shift in defense procurement while the Boeing announcement dominated headlines. The Pentagon quietly released a more structurally significant document on May 13, 2026. The Department of Defense announced framework agreements with Anduril, CoAspire, Leidos, and Zone 5 to launch the low-cost containerized munitions program, positioning the government to potentially acquire more than 10,000 containerized missiles over 3 years beginning in 2027. The assessment phase begins in June 2026, with test missile purchases from all four firms. Cost figures and specific weapons system details were not disclosed in the Pentagon statement, though the agreements established terms for future firm fixed-price production contracts. A separate agreement with defense startup Castelion targets a minimum annual purchase of 500 Blackbeard hypersonic strike missiles, contingent on Castelion clearing testing and validation milestones. The Pentagon is seeking authorizations to purchase more than 12,000 Blackbeard missiles across 5 years. Michael Duffy, Under Secretary of Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment, stated in the Pentagon release that the agreements demonstrate a move beyond traditional prime contractors to expand the industrial base. Emil Michael, Under Secretary of Defense for Research and Engineering, said the agreements commit firms to on-time, on-cost delivery. General Dan Kane, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, stated in written testimony that the Pentagon's fiscal 2027 budget would fund more than $26 billion for multi-year procurement contracts for critical munitions, citing sustained demand driven by the ongoing conflict in Iran. Source: Defense News, Reuters, May 13, 2026. The implication for private equity capital: this is a demand signal, not a contract award. But firm fixed price frameworks with defined quantity floors are exactly the commercial structure that makes non-traditional defense startups bankable for growth equity and venture lenders. Anduril in particular has attracted significant private capital, and a Pentagon framework agreement of this scale validates the unit economics thesis that underpins its valuation. Smurf at Westrock's Wisconsin superplant reframes the labor automation trade-off, a third data point from the same week adds context to the industrial capital deployment story. Smurf at Westrock's $136 million, 595,000 square foot corrugated box manufacturing facility in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, which began production in May 2025, operates with approximately 60% of the labor required by a conventional box plant while producing roughly 3 billion square feet of corrugated packaging annually. Don Spiracco, Smurf at Westrock president of corrugated packaging for North America, described that output as about three times a typical corrugated box plant today. The facility employs up to 200 people. The company closed a legacy plant in nearby North Chicago, Illinois, around the time the superplant opened, consolidating volume into a single high automation hub designed to serve the Greater Chicago and Great Lakes region. The capital math is instructive. At $136 million for a facility producing three times the output of a standard plant, the investment delivers roughly one-third the capital cost per unit of output compared to building three conventional plants. The labor reduction of approximately 40% compounds those economics further on an operating cost basis. This is the industrial automation thesis made concrete. Packaging is not a glamour sector, but it is a proxy for e-commerce throughput and consumer goods volume across the Midwest. A facility anchored near Uline's headquarters, Amazon's expanding campus, and Haribo's first U.S. manufacturing site captures structural demand, not cyclical demand. Smurf at Westrock's $136 million Wisconsin superplant uses roughly 60% of the labor of a traditional facility while producing approximately 3 billion square feet of corrugated packaging per year, which is about three times standard plant output. The unit economics of high automation manufacturing are no longer theoretical. Investment positioning: three separate theses, one common thread. These three stories share a single structural driver: the United States is repricing its industrial base in real time, across commercial aerospace, defense munitions, and consumer packaging. For private equity and institutional allocators, the actionable framework breaks down as follows. Boeing's China order, if confirmed, would validate long-cycle wide-body demand and support commercial aerospace OEM multiples. Until Beijing confirms, this is a watchlist item, not a position trigger. The LCCM program creates investable surface area in non-prime defense manufacturing. Firms with containerized munitions capabilities, hypersonic production capacity, or software-defined weapons integration now have a Pentagon-backed demand signal extending to 2030 and beyond. The Smurf at Westrock superplant model is replicable. Any packaging, industrial components, or logistics-adjacent manufacturer that can demonstrate a 40% labor reduction at three times throughput will attract institutional capital at a premium to sector comps. The Plaquemium view the market is reading these three stories as separate events. They are not. They are three expressions of the same macro shift. The United States is executing an industrial policy pivot in which capital intensity replaces labor intensity, new entrants replace legacy primes, and domestic production replaces globally distributed supply chains. Boeing's China situation is the clearest illustration of how fragile the old model remains. A single country's diplomatic silence can hold a $1 trillion aerospace company's order backlog hostage. The Pentagon's LCCM program is a direct response to that fragility, applied to the defense side. Spread production across four vendors, use firm fixed-price contracts to create cost discipline, and build redundancy into the munitions supply chain before the next conflict makes scarcity lethal. Smurf at Westrock is the private sector analog. Rather than waiting for a policy mandate, the company invested $136 million in a facility that structurally outcompetes conventional plants on cost, output, and labor efficiency. That is not a packaging story. That is a capital allocation story about who wins when automation compresses the marginal cost of manufacturing. The second order trade for institutional capital, the firms that supply the automation, the robotics, the software, and the containerized launching systems that make all three of these stories possible, are the actual compounders in this cycle. The OEMs and primes get the headlines. The enabling technology vendors get the durable margin. Plaquemium's position: The LCCM framework agreements with Anduril, CoAspire, Leidos, and Zone 5 are more significant for long-duration industrial capital than the Boeing China announcement. One depends on geopolitical goodwill. The other is funded by a $26 billion congressional munitions budget and driven by a war already in progress. The bottom line: the convergence of Trump's Boeing announcement, the Pentagon's containerized munitions framework, and Smurfit Westrock's automation first superplan in a single week is not coincidence. It reflects a U.S. industrial base in active restructuring. Beijing's silence on the Boeing order is a reminder that commercial aerospace remains a hostage to geopolitical conditions. The LCCM program, with more than 10,000 missiles targeted across four non-traditional vendors starting in 2027 and $26 billion in FY 2027 munitions procurement authorized, is the most concrete capital commitment in this set. Institutional investors should focus capital there first, treat the Boeing China order as unconfirmed until Beijing speaks, and underwrite the automation-driven manufacturing model that Smurfit Westrock is scaling across North America. The trade is defense-enabling technology and high-automation industrials. The Boeing headline is noise until it becomes a contract.